This morning, I've been asked to speak to you for a moment, and I chose a section of scripture that I hope you're familiar with, and yet I hope I leave you with a couple of new thoughts. If you'd turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18 and following, we're going to be reading about the birth of Jesus Christ, and then I'm going to be focusing on the five kings of Christmas. Follow Matthew 1, 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And I just want to stop there this morning. You know, we've just come through a very hectic time in the year. You know, as we start to think about Christmas, it starts for me the day after Thanksgiving. I will not prepare until after Thanksgiving. I don't care if the carols are on the radio. I don't care if Walmart puts Christmas trees in their store July the 4th. It's just not right. And yet, from the day after Thanksgiving until Christmas, there's so much going on. Think back. What has just happened in your life? There have been dinners. A lot of dinners. There have been parties. For those who like sports, there's been all sorts of sports contests. Boise State won another bowl game. I have to say that since I'm from Boise. They didn't just win, they wiped out the opponents, although the opponents were not that good. You know, all of the stuff that's been going on, traveling, games, concerts, buying gifts, taking gifts back, adjusting the gifts. You know, we get real tired sometimes by the time Christmas rolls around. Today, I want us to really focus, what is it that's just been celebrated and that we're thinking about yet this morning that we call Christmas? And I want to do that by focusing on five kings of Christmas. Now, maybe you've never thought of it this way, but my mind goes in strange ways. And I like to look at the three kings. Now, I know that for those of you who are scholars, you're going to say, they're not really kings. Yes, they are. We just sang, "We three kings of Orient are." And the songwriter couldn't be wrong, could he? Come on, wake up with me. It's a joke, okay? You know, they're called wise men, magi, and yet a lot of times tradition says that they were kings who came to worship Jesus. And as you read about the kings in the various scriptures, we're reminded that they were men who were wealthy, men who had power and authority, men who were wise, but men who were excited. They traveled a long distance to come and see the one who is to be born, the King of the Jews. A lot of times by the time we get to Christmas, we've lost our excitement. These men traveled a long way, gave up all of the good things of life, the palaces or the wealthy houses that they lived in, gave it all up so that they could come and worship a babe in a country that they didn't know and in a place that they didn't know. They came bearing kingly gifts, the best that they had. Now, you know, a lot of times when we do gifts, we just sort of run through the store. I remember I saw something the other night. One of my faculty members at Boise Bible College wrote, it's now Christmas Eve. I can go to 7-Eleven and to Walmart. Both of them are still open and buy my wife her gift. Knowing him is probably true, you know. He's a last-minute guy. I'm not. I love to give gifts. I don't know about you guys, but I plan all year long to give gifts. I remember a couple of years ago, my son, think of him as a son, my grandson, Jacob, we were up in Ouray. And while we were up there, he came to me and he said, "Grandpa, Grandma was just in the Columbine gift shop." And in the Columbine gift shop, they have all of these beautiful wind chimes. Now, to me, a wind chime is just a bunch of pipes, okay? They're just sort of hung up there and they make noise in the breeze. I didn't know that you could have tuned wind chimes. But you can. And so he said, "Grandma really liked this one." Of course, it was one of the most expensive in the Columbine store. And so Jacob and I went in and I looked at it and I told the lady I want it for my wife's Christmas present. This is in June. Okay, I like to prepare early. And so in June, Jacob and I, we picked out the Christmas present for Grandma. I had it all wrapped so it wouldn't make any noise. We stuffed it under the back seat of the car, and I got it all the way back to Boise without her knowing. It was about the second week of September, and we were sitting out on the patio, and I remember the old chimes that were out there, they were making a racket. But we had one of those days where it was just nice to sit outside. The breeze was there. Everything was just perfect. And so I called Jacob and I said, "Jacob, talk to Grandma for just a little bit on the phone." And so she's sitting out on the patio and she doesn't have a clue why Jacob has called to talk to her. But she's talking to Jacob. Jacob has not a clue, except I told him that when he heard me say Merry Christmas, he was supposed to say Merry Christmas to Grandma. And so I got the chimes out, I hung them up, and then I took the little paddle at the bottom and I made the noise. They really were pretty. They really had all of these beautiful tones. And Grandma turns around and Jacob, from here in Grand Junction, says, "Merry Christmas, Grandma." That was so exciting, wasn't it, Jacob? Except you know what that did for me? I only had September to December to get another Christmas gift. My wife gets two or three Christmas gifts a year at different times because I love giving the right gift, but I don't like to wait. And that's sort of like the wise men. They were excited. They had the very best gifts to give to the babe. Okay? And so they have traveled a long ways. They're excited and they bring the gifts. Now understand, they're maybe they were not kings, and yet they may have been. Tertullian, about 150 years after Jesus, called them almost kings. Origen talked about three kings. Now understand, we don't know how many actually came, wise men. We do know that there were three gifts, but from within 150 years of the birth of Jesus, they were saying that these were kings who came. Whether they were just wise men, wealthy men, or princes, or kings, we don't know. But tradition tells us that one of the men's names was Gaspar. He was a Persian scholar or king. Melchior was from India, and Balthazar was from Arabia. From these three countries, they had all seen the same star, and they had all come to Jerusalem. They had the same excitement. They had the same desire to give the very best gifts that they could. And so they came to the next guy. The next guy is Herod the king. They come to Herod the king, and his title officially was King of the Jews. And when these three wise men from a foreign country have come, and they go, "Where is he who is to be born King of the Jews?" And the King of the Jews goes, "I haven't heard about this. Tell me more." And so King Herod sits there and talks with them to find out what is to take place. Now, you need to understand who King Herod is. King Herod was appointed king of the Jews, not by God and not by the high priest. He was not anointed, but he was appointed by the king of Rome. One of the early Roman historians wrote this about Herod the Great. He said he was the greatest builder in Jewish history. Understand, this is a Roman writing this. Greatest builder in Jewish history, an evil genius of the Judean nation, prepared to commit any crime in order to gratify his unbounded ambition. Doesn't sound like he's quite as wise as the three kings from the east. He asks the priests and the scribes, "What are they talking about? This king of the Jews, I am the king of the Jews. I don't have a child who's being born who will be called king of the Jews. Who are they talking about?" And they go to the Old Testament scriptures and they say, "This is a fulfillment of prophecy. He seemed to want to worship too." And so he told the wise men, "When you go to see the babe, when you find him, send word to me so that I can come and worship him too." Seemed to want to worship, but eventually we find out he killed all the male children 2 years and younger in the area of Bethlehem because he wanted to destroy the one who was supposed to be the king of the Jews. The wise men arrive at the manger scene. I had the privilege of being in Israel this last summer. My first trip ever. How many of you have ever been there? Oh, isn't it exciting? I mean, we got to go to the nativity area where Jesus would have been born, down under the church of the nativity. And there was a manger to the side. It was a place where animals would have been kept. There was a star on the ground. It wasn't there when Jesus was born, but it was a place that they said exactly where Jesus was born. We went out to the shepherd's fields, and we saw the caves where they would have kept the sheep. And from Jerusalem to Bethlehem's not that far of a journey. You could see part of Jerusalem from Bethlehem. The wise men have journeyed to Bethlehem. They have knelt down. And what's interesting is, they were sincere. They were sincere. They knew this was a special child. And so the first one gives the gift of gold. Now, gold was reserved for kings. In Palestine, there has never historically been any gold mining at all. It's always been imported. The temple in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, all of the stuff that was inside was made of pure gold. It was brought in by Solomon and others. But one of them brought gold for the babe. Gold reserved for a king. He had done his research. It was the best he could find. Another one brought frankincense. Frankincense, I don't know all about frankincense. I just know that my wife, she gets these essential oils. How many of you are into essential oils? You can be proud. I mean, some of you go like that. No, you can say yes. It's expensive, so raise your hand. You don't want your husband to know. Okay. I did see one man raise his hand. You know, in the essential oils, there is frankincense. My wife was telling me about it, and it's an oil. It can be burned. That's the way that they used it. It was a resin, and they would burn it as incense. It was something that was used for the coronation of a king. It was something that was used only for a king or someone of extreme royalty because it was so expensive. I saw the bill. Forget it. Anyway, guys, don't look at the essential oil bill, especially if it has frankincense. But the third one is myrrh, and myrrh is another one of those essential oils. It's another thing that was used for anointing a king's head when he became king. It was also a spice that was wrapped in the linen as they would wrap them and prepare them for burial. And so these three kings of Orient brought the three gifts, the special gifts for the babe. Herod, he said, I want to go and worship. And he ended up killing all the babies who were 2 years and younger, trying to destroy the effectiveness of the fifth king of Christmas. The fifth king of Christmas, of course, is Jesus, the King of Kings, the one that the angels announced to the shepherds, the ones that the stars had come together and brought the wise men to Bethlehem. Jesus, King of Kings. You know, the gifts were accepted, and history has told us that it's very possible the expensive gold, frankincense, and myrrh is what sustained the Christ child through the trip down to Egypt. While they were in Egypt, escaping the prosecution or persecution of Herod, and finally bringing them back to Nazareth, their hometown. Whether it was used for that or not, I don't know. We never hear of those special gifts again. We just know that three of the kings worshiped the Son of God. The fourth one hated the Son of God and wanted to kill him. And finally, the King of Kings, Jesus. He is the one who was divinely appointed to rule over God's people. He was God's chosen king. It didn't matter that Herod was the great. It didn't matter all of the great things that he had built, and sometimes he said it was in the name of Jehovah God. God's chosen king was not a political appointee. He was not politically correct. He was a child being born in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. Now, our responses today are really the same. Jesus to the world sometimes is important and sometimes not. Sometimes Jesus and Christmas is politically correct, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes Christmas and Jesus brings all sorts of great feelings, and sometimes they do not. I want us to think for a moment this morning about our responses. Some people feel threatened, and they try to destroy His influence on their life. You know, Jesus, when you come face to face with Jesus, whether it's at Christmas or whether it's at Easter or any other special time of the year or any not special day of the year, when you come face to face with Jesus, the Son of God, you've got to make a response. And some people are terrified of Him. Some people are angry at Him. Some people question Him and say, why did you do this? Some people try to destroy the influence of Jesus. I'm sure some of you have read in the news that Christians are not welcome in all places in the world. In fact, in some places of the world, if you are a Christian, you will literally lose your head. Sadly, in the United States of America, one nation under God, I find that there are places that people are still shoving Jesus into a corner. They are taking away the significance of His kingship and saying, oh, it's just another one of those myths. Our response needs to be not like King Herod. Ours needs to be like the wise men. We need to come and get excited when we think about the babe of Christmas. When we think about the fifth king of Christmas, we need to do whatever it takes to worship him. We need to give him our best, whether it's gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Whether it's to give him our heart, our whole life. To be excited is to be everything in the sight of God. And yet so many times I see Christians who, yeah, guess I have to go to church today. Yeah, my family says that this Jesus guy is someone that I need to obey, and so I will. What kind of worship and devotion is that? If three men who were Gentiles, not Jews, if these three men who were Gentiles, not Jews, traveled great distances and gave the very best that they had, what about us? What about us? As Christians, most of us here today are Christian. Shouldn't we be giving him our best? And our best is ourself. He doesn't need our gold. He doesn't need frankincense and myrrh. He's got all of the wealth. He wants us. That's why he sent Jesus to die. Oh, yeah. Do you remember 33 years after the birth of Jesus? Jesus is to be hung on a cross, nailed to a cross. What was the sign that they put above his head? King of the Jews. The wise men, where is this one who is called King of the Jews? Herod, I want to know where this one who is to be called King of the Jews is so that I can worship and kill him. Jesus, King of the Jews, died for us. What a great Christmas story. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I ask that you would help us to understand the significance of the scriptures relating to the birth of your son, Jesus. Help us to understand that the people who responded correctly weren't even Jews. And yet they had heard the prophecies, they had seen the star, and they saw the angels, and they bowed and worshipped and gave their lives to the Son. Father, help us during this very busy time of the year and through the rest of the year to come, that we will give our lives to you. I don't know everyone who's here this morning, but Father, I pray that in their hearts, if they have a decision that needs to be made, you'll help them to make that decision now, to accept you, your Son, Jesus, as King of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.